Welcome to the Perfectly Sane Show, episode 613. I am Chris, as always, joined by Tony.
Vox populi, vox dei. Oh, yeah.
Jeff is here as well.
I have nothing clever this time. You get one clever intro for me per year.
Well, I think we've got a couple of them from you this year, Jeff.
I said something last week. I forgot. It was good. Oh, about so how my Tony wasn't here. you got my memo that it was you had to be commit to being hardcore.
Yeah.
And he said, "Fuck it."
Damn it! I'm not hardcore. I can't do it.
Well, you quit, and then Jeff called you back. You were like, "I guess." I don't have to be as hardcore, though, right?
He bought Elden Ring. I was like, ah, that's kind of hardcore. Yeah. So.
I'm back.
May be here. He is. We're recording a day early because of Thanksgiving, and it is his normal like game night with other friends.
How dare he have friends who aren't us?
Right. Yeah, so Jeff is drinking a red ale. Tony's drinking some sort of red beer too.
It's like barrel aged sour.
I am drinking vodka, so I don't have any beer in the house right now. Actually,
it's not keeping with the theme. What is this?
I don't understand those words in that sentence. You don't have any beer in the house.
Yeah, I have not. Been to the beer distributor, and I was getting like beer delivered, like craft beer and stuff, but it's like really expensive.
Yeah, but
so like like getting like 8 or 9 bottles of craft beer delivered a month, like was it was starting to hit like about $100 say or more. Every time, so it's just like I'm good.
That's like a good price. I mean,
it's not. They weren't bad. It wasn't a like. I mean,
like if it's good. If it's good beer,
yeah.
Is it in the larger bottles or?
Sometimes it's not. Sometimes it just comes in a can. Like, oh, this is special.
Yeah, like I probably wouldn't blanch at buying a. Like $15 beer or a $20 beer, but buying 8 of them is a bit much.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like I want to spend $20 most of the time and get at least, 4 beers.
Chris, you should get, if you can, you should get the Antihero delivered to your house. Give it a shot.
Oh, that I might be able to go into like Pennsylvania doesn't have, like you can't just walk into a grocery store or something, but like, we have beer distributors. I could probably get the Antihero at a beer distributor.
Have you seen Revolution? Do you guys have Revolution Brewing by you guys? Like their beers?
I've heard of the name before.
Okay, like I didn't know how far they have spread their wings.
The times I've had it have all been in Chicago.
It's like I've seen it on menus, like. Places, but
yeah. I feel like I've seen it. I feel like I've seen Antihero places like around here.
You've had it, right, Tony?
Oh yeah, I've had a number of beers.
That's the taste. You gotta try it, Chris. That's what I've been tasting for the last decade. like when I want, that's like my go-to good beer. Like almost always. Like if a place has it, that's what I'm ordering. Like,
let's say the Antihero is an IPA though, right?
Yeah, but it's a good one. Like,
isn't it technically a pale ale?
I don't know. Is an IPA technically a pale ale?
Oh, you know what? No, it is an IPA. Looking at it right now.
I honestly, Tony, I don't know the difference between a pale ale and an India pale ale or an American India pale ale.
I mean, all under an umbrella, right? Like the pale.
Well, ale, I mean, pale ale is the larger, and then IPA is a subset.
But yeah, it is, right?
Yeah, it's an IPA.
I generally don't like IPAs, but if I see it somewhere, and I mean, actually, I'll be in Atlantic City this weekend. It may be at like one of the bars there.
If you don't like IPAs, it will not turn you around on IPAs.
He's only had the bad ones, though. He has had the ones that, like, he says taste piney, which I don't like those either. This is like got a little citrusiness to it. It's good.
It's not quite like a hazy. Like it's definitely closer to the classic pale IPA. Like that West Coast bitterness is in there.
It's more like a regular beer as opposed to drinking a tree.
Wow.
It's not quite as bad as a tree. It's not that dank, I think, is the word they use.
I've had, you know, IPAs that taste really piney.
Yeah.
And I do not like them.
No. So, I am for the citrusy ones as well. The New England style, the hazies, the ones that have that almost sweetness. I feel like I get to a point with them that I have to have one of those other ones just because they taste so the hazy tastes so sweet after a while.
If I see one, Jeff, I will give it a shot. So Thanksgiving tomorrow, Black Friday. Tony and I have already made some Black Friday purchases.
I've bought a number of things already.
Me too, a little bit.
Tony and I both have Elden Ring. We have not installed it, but we have Elden Ring.
We will be able to look at our copies of Elden Ring during our Game of the Year discussion when we tell Jeff that we think it's not very good.
Here's what you do. You install a game, and you just listen to the amazing menu music.
You know what we can do, Chris? We can use it as a coaster for our beers while we're having this discussion.
Could I mean, you can do that. Mine happened to be Walmart's was a digital copy. I could just put it on. I guess I could put it on top of my Xbox while that menu music plays, Jeff, in the background.
Dude, I will sometimes start that game up and just let that menu music play for a little bit. It's like fucking epic as fuck. You guys don't even know what I'm talking about, probably.
We played Skyrim. Come on.
Is it that type of, like, you know, fantasy orchestra music?
It's just like it gets you hyped.
Yes, it's the same kind of deal. Well, I mean, probably not even close to the same soundtrack, but the similar.
Yeah, it's that vibe. Like, if you've seen any fantasy video games or movies, like, it has that epicness.
I know you guys will agree with this because it's just like, all right, I'm about to fuck shit up.
I mean, something's about to get fucked up in it. It's most likely me, but have that. Tony's been playing God of War. That wasn't a Black Friday purchase, though.
That's true.
So we are preparing for Game of the Year.
Come on, I'm playing my Game of the Year so much lately. So much. NBA 2K23.
All right. Hey, I mean, at some point, a sports game should be nominated.
I'm just going to put it at the top of my list.
Just to have it there. Finally, here it goes. It's always
on. It's done. It happened. It happened because this is the year.
I'm just kind of wondering, like, what, like, outside of God of War, like, God of War and Elden Ring seem to be the ones that are kind of dominating the popular talk.
Yeah.
I don't really know if there's anything else out there we need to play.
I mean, there was a lot of, I'm not going to even go to say a lot, but there's a number of very good games that are probably not Game of the Year. Horizon, I think, is awesome. Yeah. But it's more of the previous game, which is great and awesome, and I adore that, you know, because I wanted more of the previous game. But, like, am I going to make a game that I've already played game of the year? Probably not.
Need for Speed, whatever it's called.
You don't even know the subtitle, do
you? Like, on something, or starts with a U, I know that. That could be game of the year.
Unbound. Sonic could be game of the year. Sonic.
Yeah.
I mean, it could be somebody's game of the year. I don't, like, Jeff seems to be the one highest on it. Like, it's not his, so.
It's not. But it's a good game. I think that Callisto game will be good. But I don't think it'll be. There's zero chance of anything. I'm gonna like more than Elden Ring. It's not happening. But
I think Marvel's Midnight Suns. I think that will be the game that finally puts you over the top. It'll make you like strategy games too. Sure. At the same time, it'll all come together for you.
Maybe I should get Gotham Knights, and that'll be.
I mean, that will make you hate all video games, and you'll just give them all up forever.
You could play it with Earl and me. I think Callisto is probably the last big game for me that like has a shot of making my list. Marvel Midnight Sun is probably for you, right, Tony? Like that's
soon. The only thing is at that point, am I gonna pay full price for a December game after having gotten all of these other games?
Right.
That is the kicker. I don't know that I would be willing to do that.
You're going to be too busy with Elden Ring. That's like going to be your whole December.
Sure.
I am hoping that True Achievements votes that as its is a December game of the month. So I can get the little badge for playing in their December playlist game. Doesn't really mean anything, but be nice if it showed up there. So I got Gotham Knights and Elden Ring. Earl got Gotham Knights as well, or he was going to get Gotham Knights. I don't know. I think he might have talked himself out of getting it after he kind of talked me into getting it.
How dare he?
It's fine. I'll just run around, play mediocre Nightwing and Batgirl. And there's like two other heroes in it as well, but don't care about them. Jeff, what'd you pick up so far?
For me personally, I've gotten the Sonic Origins, mm-hmm. I think it's called, collection. Yeah. I got the Atari 50.
And that was, you found that on sale, right?
Yeah, physically.
Yeah.
Apparently the Microsoft shop's too good to drop the price on it. My brain is not working tonight. What the fuck? Oh, The Quarry.
Oh, okay. Have you started that yet, or?
I have indeed.
Let's talk about that in a minute. Tony, you buy anything else?
I've seen a number of controller sales.
Okay.
So I got an Xbox One controller for like $37.
Nice.
And a PS5 controller for like $50.
It's actually not a bad deal considering that
they're $75. Yeah. I always worry because I only have the one, like the launch controller.
Yeah.
And I'm like, every time I play, I'm like, is this going to be the last time that it works? And my kids use my Xbox all the time, so I always like to have, like, one. And I literally just bought this controller, and now it's, like, on a shelf in the back.
As like just to have it
controller.
In case.
Yeah, because I know at some point they're going to be like, I can't move to the left anymore. What did you do to it?
Yeah. Having an extra controller with kids, like I don't know what they do to them. Like, you know, the sticks will drift, or they just won't work anymore.
I spent 10 minutes this morning cleaning dirt out of the one that they were playing with last night because, like, I couldn't, like, all the buttons were sticky.
Oh,
Like, why are the buttons sticky? I don't.
Like, and yeah, back plates go missing, or they somehow change. Like, there's a blue back plate on a black controller, and there must be a black one on like the orange and blue controller somewhere. I don't know. I don't know what they're doing.
When I have controllers that get decommissioned, I actually keep the back plates because they disappear.
Yeah. I just wonder, like, is it like, oh, the batteries are dying? And this is obviously not a problem with PlayStation controllers because battery's internal, but
yeah,
battery's dying, so they pop it out, change out either the battery pack or the batteries, and then just don't put the back plate back on.
Well, actually, the thing I got, the battery packs that you were charging the cable.
Yep.
So now my kids don't take the back plates off anymore.
Okay, that's good. So you just plug it in and it charges. Yeah, exactly.
It basically makes it into a PS5 controller.
Yeah. All right. Well. Oh, and I picked up. I also picked up Kena, Bridge of Spirits. It was a PS5 game that came out last year. I picked it up on Epic Game Store. So we're playing that for VG Club, but it was like $20. That game seems fun. I wish I waited one more day because it dropped that extra $10 on the PS5, and I could have put it there. But it's like,
could have got trophies.
Yeah. Okay. So let's. Epic has introduced achievements into their thing, and they are terrible.
Oh no!
When they unlock, it pauses the game.
Oh, that's not great.
And like shows up on the screen, like it just puts you into the pause menu, and it's like, here's the achievement you got. I'm like, I'm in the middle of a battle. What are you doing? It's really dumb. I gotta like maybe play around with the settings to see if I can shut that off. So while I like achievements, I really don't care about Epic achievements at all. Yeah. Jeff, what were we gonna say, Donnie?
It's like Steam achievements.
Yeah.
It's nice, but I really don't care.
Right, like there's no like Steam achievement, there's no cumulative score like with Xbox, there's no level like with PlayStation. It's like what are these for? I mean, every once in a while you'll get like those cards or whatever.
Yeah. Which even you can though those are time based. It doesn't even matter. You don't have to do anything. You could even just turn the game on and just walk away.
Yep, you'll unlock the three that you get for not even doing anything. You just like, as long as you have the game on, and then you could sell them for like 10 cents and make 30 cents back on them.
I will say occasionally I will pay attention to the Steam achievements though, and try to do something to get them, but it's not like Xbox. Like I'm not trying. I feel like there's more incentive on Xbox though. Like every day you need to get an achievement for your 50 rewards points.
Yeah.
And like there's like actual incentive for having them.
Right, like get three achievements in a Game Pass game, and you'll get like I don't know 10 points or whatever on the Game Pass thing, and like on the Game Pass quest for the day or whatever. So yeah, you get like money back from playing on Xbox, and I think PlayStation's similar. They have like a similar program now. Steam is just like what are these for?
And all the games have to have them. So
yeah. Jeff, you played two games here. We talked a little bit about Atari 50 last week. You have made your way through that. Assume chronologically, or did you jump around?
No, I played the game as I think it should be played.
Kinda... In order, yeah. There are people that were like just jumping, like they were like, oh, I want to play like, you know, 7800 games. So they were just playing Section 4 to start with, or I want to check out these Jaguar games. They were jumping right to the end. I played as you did, like start at the beginning of Atari, like learn about like, you know, the Space Combat or whatever it was, that first game. And then like move through their arcade history into the 2600, the crash, the nightmare of everything that happened after the crash with Atari.
The long skid after that into oblivion,
and like the Lynx and the Jaguar, and And then I mean, you made it through, so you saw like the the Nolan Bushnell interview at the end.
Yeah.
Which I thought they should have done more with him.
Yeah.
Like, they just have, like, they have the CEO of Atari, who looks like he is about 7 years old, talking with Nolan Bushnell, and it's like, you could have had guy talking a whole lot more. Also, like, I would have, you know, from the kid who runs this new Atari, I kind of wish that he had talked a little bit more about, like, what his vision for...
What are we doing
here? Yeah. Like, outside of, and this is something you mentioned on Twitter, like, they had a series of really good games, Centipede, Missile Command, Asteroids,
Tempest,
yeah, and it's like, they just kept redoing them over and over again.
Yeah.
for 15 years.
But there still are, right?
That's the best stuff that they've released recently has been, you know, Missile Command Recharged or Centipede Recharged, like all those Recharged games. Yeah. So like, they're just redoing all those old games again, which is great. They are great editions of those games.
Oh yeah.
They're great games to start with, though. Like, I think, like, if you play Missile Command on the 2600, which is on the Atari 50 collection, I think that's a good version of Missile Command. It's not the best version, like, but it is a good, serviceable version of that game.
I never got into Missile Command really before this, and I think that, like, nothing really touches the arcade one, because unless I'm missing something. Like, on the 2600, you have basically one base that you're shooting missiles from, right?
Yeah, there's the one turret in the middle. Yeah. Whereas, yeah, the arcade has three turrets.
Yes.
You know, one in the middle and two on the end.
And, you know, it took them until the Jaguar to replicate three bases. It's just like, they were, like, chasing somehow doing an adequate version of their arcade games for, you know,
15 years,
20 years. So, yeah. Yeah, so I played through that, basically the whole thing. I'm pretty much done with it. And, you know, I might dip back in at some point. It makes it hard that I bought it physically. So I have to actually be like, oh, I want to play this right now.
Right.
As opposed to just seeing it on my menu and going, let's fuck around with this a little more. Yeah, generally, my opinion on these games is probably lower than yours. I think that, I mean, you kind of said it, like, they had some really great early arcade, like, some of the first arcade games, and those are still pretty great.
Yeah.
That's, you know, handful of games out of a collection of 100 plus games, you know what I mean? And I think most of the rest of it is, like, it's like an interesting curiosity or diversion for, like, a lot of these games I played for less than a minute, where I'm just like, okay, yeah, new.
Yeah, same. I booted it up, like, played until I, like, lost a life or something. I was like, I'm good.
That was
good.
And I think that, you know, kind of the bulk of their history is probably the 2600, which was a very limited machine. And I think all of them were, up until the Jaguar. I'm starting to, like, I'm not going to give excuses for what they did with the Jaguar, but, you know, in general, I think that, like, if you're, I don't think this package is worth buying because of the games.
I think certainly not. There are, you can buy Atari collections for, like, $10 that have most of these games on it already.
Yeah. So, and most of these games, again, just my opinion, are not good. But it's worth getting as, because of how they're presented, and, you know, the work that Digital Eclipse did, and kind of, you know, I guess the best way, I think we just kind of described it last week, is it's like kind of like a museum, like a gallery at a museum. Like, you're just going through this history and you get to interact. Like, you learn about a game and I could go play it. Like, they really went above and beyond with all that. Like, all these video interviews, design documents, just little, lots of like vintage ads, like you know old television commercials. They show there is a 2-minute commercial for Yar's Revenge that they played in movie theaters, and it's just really awesome. If you're interested in the history of video games at all, it's like almost like an awesome documentary where you could play the stuff that they're talking about. And like I said, they really went above and beyond, because on top of that, for a good chunk of these games, Digital Eclipse did like, they're like, here's a modern version of this game that we did just so you could check out. They didn't have to do that. Like, they didn't have to do any of this, because like most compilations are just, you know, maybe you'll have a few extras, but they like really outdid themselves here and kind of set the bar really high for this type of release. Like, I can't think of anything that's been like this, you know?
I was listening to Jeff Kirschman's show that he's doing now, and he had, I think the CEO or like the head designer for Digital Eclipse on, and he was interviewing him, and that guy was trying to explain we were trying to pitch this to people to get other games in it, and they just didn't understand it. They didn't understand what they were trying to do with it. So like that's why, you know, Activision doesn't like Pitfall's not in there, and Beam Rider, Jungle Hunt, and there's stuff like that. And then the licensed stuff too, like, you know, Indiana Jones and like Raiders of the Lost Ark was a big game. E.T., which is mentioned in it because, you know, the crash, but it's like you kind of want to see what that nightmare of a game is.
It's weird too, because even when they mention it in like the documentary footage and stuff, like they don't show footage of the actual game.
No,
that's kind of a bummer. It's hard for me to call it like a missed opportunity here, though, because like you said, they clearly would have done that if they could have. Like,
yeah,
but yeah, wouldn't it be nice to have Pitfall and stuff like that on this? Like,
yeah,
and like Activision, you're not really doing anything with that shit. Like,
and they talk to the guys that like made Pitfall and did like stuff like for Activision. Like they left, like they have like a nice piece of these guys left Atari and basically started Activision, like started a lot of these publishers that came out of Atari because the people that were running Atari were nightmare people. Not Nolan Bushnell, but the people after him.
They did get a few third-party games on there. They did get, there's one called, like, Miner 2049. Which was surprisingly good for what it was. Kind of a Donkey Kong-ish type game.
Yep.
And there was a sequel to that that, like, it looked even better, but I couldn't really get shit done in it. I was just like, okay, I get it. I see what it is. Good job. But yeah, really, you know, wish there was more, but... You know,
especially on the Jaguar. I wish they had like the good games on the Jaguar,
right? Like, you know, you're not gonna be able to get it, but like Alien versus Predator and stuff like that.
Right.
The stuff that they have on the Jaguar, I was just like, oh my god, bro! Like, so happy I did not buy into this when it came out, because I remember it when it came out. You know, it was like.
It was probably pretty hyped too.
I
remember being expensive.
Yeah.
When it came out. So and I think that cool, was why I didn't get it.
And a cool like black box that it came in and stuff. And it was like, I'm trying to remember when exactly it came out, like 93, somewhere around there ish.
Yeah, it was like after the Super Nintendo and Genesis.
So you were like, oh, this is the next thing, you know?
And that's, I was what, like, that's what they were selling it as. They were saying it was a 64-bit system, which it wasn't. Which
it wasn't. But like, there's no excuse for how, in my opinion, like how bad the games are on it. Like, at least the ones that they've included in here. Like, I don't care if it's not 64-bit. This is like trash. Like, I can't even remember what... I was kind of like breezing through at that point and just kind of like, okay.
I think Atari Carts is fine. Like it is.
No.
It plays fine. I played all the way through that. It's a fine 16-bit type kart racer.
I It didn't even have pickups. Like,
it does. There's stuff you pick up. I don't know how to use them, but you do pick up shit.
I'm like going around the track. I'm like, is this it? It's just like a kart racer, but no, like.
Like, there's stuff you pick up. I had no idea how to actually, because I never read any of the instructions on any of this stuff, which
is. Yeah, I would sometimes. Very troublesome. I would.
Tempest 2000, pretty good on that as well.
Yeah, that I'd say it's like.
That's maybe the standout.
The one good one on the Jaguar that's on here, but it's like, could you imagine back in the day, like, getting this, you know, yeah, Tempest, cool, whatever, right? But it's like, that's not going to.
Well, remember that game didn't launch with it either. That game launched with like that that side-scrolling shooter, the McFur or whatever it is.
Yes,
McFur.
Okay, thank you for mentioning that one because that's perfect terrible. Example, dude. I like shmups a lot, and that game, you throw a fucking dart at any fucking game on the TurboGrafx-16 that was a shmup, and it's better than that. Looks better, runs smoother and faster. Like why? There's no excuse. There's no excuse why that game fucking is that dull. And it had another launch game was another like 3D flying game.
Cybermorph. That
terrible. I thought.
At first I was like, this is bad. There's an achievement for like something in that game. I was like, I'm gonna try and get this one.
Yeah.
So like I played it a little bit more. I'm like, okay, I get the idea.
It's not good.
Like you're going around collecting these items, trying to shoot. But actually, once I got control of it, it's like this doesn't control bad and it looks fine. It took me a while. Like when I first played it, like that first 5 minute, like you know, put it on, see what this game is. Like this is awful, and I kept running into walls and.
Oh yeah, I can't believe you stuck with it to get the controls down. Oof.
Yeah, I went back and I was like, oh, like, and it doesn't take that long.
You're just, an achievement hunter.
Yeah, like I was like, I'm gonna get this achievement because it seems like it should be pretty easy, and it was once I figured out the controls for it. But ultimately, I wouldn't want to like those were the two launch games though. Trevor McFerrin and Cybermorph. Like I would have been so sad.
Oh my god. I think it's something that's worth mentioning though, is the achievements on this. Cause, I mean, I'm sure, you know, I didn't look at the achievements till I was done playing through the game and did not get a single achievement. And I was like, okay, what are the achievements on this? And then you go look and like, they're confined to like very little of the stuff in there.
Yeah. I did like, so like there was another one for Atari carts, like, you know, playing through that and finishing the final race and winning the final race. There's, and then like, it's all Cybermorph, I think is another one. And then everything else is to those new games.
Yeah. It's like, so the new digital clips version of the classics, like almost all the achievements are tied to them.
Yeah. Which, and they're weird and wonky too. Like narrowly land a lunar lander after falling at high velocity in vector sector.
And I tried that vector sector, did not. That was another one I was like, I don't really get it. Like I kind of get it.
It's a really cool game, but yeah, it's like another one. It's like I don't understand. I was never good at Lunar Lander, and that's part of it. Like the game is like these three, basically asteroids, Lunar Lander, and then like this other game that was an Activision game called Beam Rider. Which would be like Tempest, but on a flat plane. Like where Tempest is like around, like stuff is coming at you and you're shooting it like as it's coming up the tube. Beam Rider was like on a flat plane where you're moving across
between the beams.
Yeah. So like, yeah, Vector Sector is like a mix of all three of those. And it's like these are hard. They don't make a lot of sense. And a lot of them are tied to that Haunted Houses game.
Yeah, which I started to play, and I was like, wow, you know, first off, I played the original 2600 Haunted House, and I'm like, all right, what are you fucking, like, I didn't get it, you know, I was like, what is this? And then, I did, okay, they have a new version of it, let's see this, and I was like, wow, this is, like, in 3D, and it's like, You know, you're exploring it, you know, like it's like a third person exploration game. But I was like, after 5 minutes of just wandering around in that, I was like, okay, done. Like, it's cool that they did it though. Like, you know,
I didn't move on. Like, I beat the prologue area and then tried the first area after that, like the creepy cabin or whatever it was. I didn't make it any further than that.
Yeah, I don't think I even beat the prologue area because I was just like, all right, I found what I could figure is like the idea of haunted house is to find the exit. But like, I found what I could see. There's like a green sign here and I'm walking up to it. I'm like, why can I not leave?
Because you have to put there. So you have to collect the pieces of an urn.
Oh, yeah.
And, okay. And when you put that together, it unlocks the door. So.
So I did find the right door. Is that how the old 2D one is too? Like
I have no idea because the 2D one, like a lot of those,
you're just in the dark.
Yeah, and a lot of those Atari games are like they're straight up confusing because it's like you're a block, or like in this you're two little circles because they're eyeballs, and like you're just moving around a map and it doesn't really tell you what you're supposed to be doing.
Have you ever played through Adventure?
No, not all the way. Like I played it, but again, it's like another one. It's like
it's so because I've tried it.
So confusing.
It's so I've tried it years and years ago, and I didn't even bother trying it this time because I just remember it being so cryptic and confusing. And, I mean, you made up a good point that point one that everyone has to understand, especially. People who are younger than us that don't remember this era is the beginning. So we're just learning how to make video games, right? That's point one.
Yeah.
Point two is because of the limitations, so much of the, it's a really good point that you brought up before we were recording. Like so much of the game was about like, you had to interact with the instruction manual that came with it because that was telling you the story. It's telling you how to play. Filling in all these things that they couldn't do because on the game itself because of the limitations of the hardware. So I'm forgiving of a lot of
don't transfer well to today.
At the end of the day, like most of these games are kind of a rough play today, but that said, all the classics we mentioned are still really fun. There's cool updates of those classics and you get a really fun history lesson playing through this. I absolutely do think this game is worth getting. Like, I really enjoyed my time with it, despite the fact that I think most of the games are terrible on it.
I want more like of these digital history museums. Like, give me any of them, really. Like, do an LJN one for crying out loud. Yeah, like, I think that would be cool.
That would be hard because. They're all licensed.
Yeah, all licensed stuff. But yeah, if you could go back and like,
you imagine anything. I mean, kind of got this with Rare Replay. That's kind of the closest that we've gotten to what this is because there was a decent amount of like videos and stuff in that one. But I really want digital clips to do this. Can you imagine doing this treatment to like good companies like Capcom and Konami and
Sega? Oh, man. Sega, like I think it'd be awesome. And I mean, Sega has so many like of their compilation collections, but yeah, it's like just.
But do it this way,
do it this museum style. It'd be awesome. One more thing before we move off of that. You mentioned you tried Sword Quest out. They did Air World, which is the fourth Sword Quest game. And I think you had the exact same experience I did with all four of these games. Like they make zero sense.
Dude, that first one. Okay, so the first one, it's literally just like, that part in the original Zelda where you have to keep going north, like five screens in a row and they all look the same? That's what that's kind of like, but it's like, you're like, what am I doing? You just kind of reach a dead end and you could bring up what I thought was like a bring up like an inventory menu, and that's the only thing I could do. And I'm like, all right, it doesn't let me go any other direction. Like,
okay, but, did you reach any of the other rooms that are like mini games?
No,
Okay. Yeah, there's
I can't go anywhere else. I just kept going. The only way that they let me go is up. You try to go sideways, and it wouldn't let you. And from what I could tell, because I'm like, I have to understand what the fuck this game is. And so I pulled up a playthrough on YouTube, and there was no talking to explain anything. But from what I could tell, like, the thing that I thought was an inventory menu was, like, kind of you looking at what was in the room and deciding what to pick up and to leave. Is that...
Yeah, because you can only hold so many items. And so, like, if you... And that's the other
like,
thing,
how
right?
would I know that? Like, yep. Dude, it makes no sense.
And if you have too much stuff and you need like the torch or whatever to solve a puzzle in another room, you might have to drop something. Like, and then you have to remember where the fuck you dropped it.
Yeah, it doesn't show up on the screen. It only shows up on the inventory screen if you're in that room.
Yep.
But how do you reach, like, first off, I didn't see puzzles. I didn't see anything. I saw empty rooms. But how do you reach those little, like, mini...
I don't know. I was just, like, wandering around, and I ended up somehow in another room. It was like, oh, and it's, like, basically, like, the thing that I came across was basically Frogger. Like, so you have, like, a little guy, and then
you're going up.
Yeah, you're going up to try to get to, like, this doorway, and it's, like, your platform, or you're jumping across these things, but they move so fast. Like, so difficult. I give up. I'm done.
That was made by the guy that was smoking weed and doing cocaine and psilocybin at the same fucking time. It's just so funny seeing this little old man talk about doing. Yeah, so I smoked a joint and then I went home and I did some coke and some psilocybin. I'm like, oh my God, that's insane. I would never even do that.
It's great.
But, It was interesting hearing him talk about making that game, and it was also interesting, kind of people's thoughts on like those early types of adventure games like that. Like just the idea that a game could have mystery and secrets was new. Like that's how old these fucking games are, and all that stuff's neat. That's all. It doesn't make these games particularly fun to play, but having all that stuff around it makes it fun to check the game out for a minute. You know.
Yeah, it's like, oh, this is cool. This is what they were talking about, and now I can move on to something else.
If it's just a list of games, you would load that game up and go, oh my God, what the fuck? Never mind.
Yeah, but with the context, it does like, all right,
you
I get it.
Around for a second, yeah, you want to like, and still walk away going, I don't get it. But
Tony probably remembers some of like not the Atari stuff, but the manuals because he played strategy games, so they would come and like. They would come with 300-page manuals.
They would.
Some of the Civ games were insane.
You'd like sit down and have like reading time because you'd have to. You wouldn't understand the game otherwise because they also didn't have tutorials back then.
Remember, I got a Sid Meier's Alpha Centauri, which is it's basically Civ in space.
Yeah.
And it came. Yeah, the manual was like 270 pages long. My God. And I still don't know how to play that game.
Well, it's like nowadays, if you play a game like that, like the first like 20 minutes, the game literally tells you how to play it as you're playing. That wasn't a thing back then. No. I don't know whether the technology didn't exist, like they didn't think of having tutorials. Although I will say, if you had a tutorial, like a lot of times the tutorial was like in the manual. So there'd be like a tutorial scenario, but you'd have to like follow what was happening in the manual because the actual tutorial wasn't in the game itself.
Yeah. Oh,
my bet is at least on the 2600, that thing is a miracle it was able to do anything. So, yeah, I don't think they had the ability to like explain what the fuck was going on.
What was it? Star Raiders. I think there's a version of Star Raiders on this collection.
Yeah.
That is a game that like, if you just go in blind, you'll be like, what the hell am I doing? Cause like that is a game that came with like a giant manual as well to tell you how to control the ship. That had to be played with the number pad, which had like an overlay on top of it. Like it gave you all the context. It was crazy.
A lot of guys on this collection were talking that game up about how like it was the killer app for, I forgot if it was for the PC, like the Atari 400 or 800 or one of the later Atari consoles. But yeah, I started the game. I'm like, okay, yeah, cool. I'm floating around, like flying through space in 3D, but like, good Lord,
what am I doing?
There's nothing going on here. Moving along. Like,
yeah. And it's just like, just the way we consume games now, like it's not like when you would get Star Raiders back in the 80s, you probably only got like one or two games a year. So you would, I have this thing, I might as well figure out how to play it.
And I could put myself in that mindset easily. Like, you know, I could totally see how groundbreaking it could have felt at the time. Like, I get it.
Yeah, it does not, as you said, does not translate to fun today. So,
but I don't know. I really do recommend this collection of people. Again, not for so much for the games, but just the whole package.
It's great. All right, Tony, you play anything this past week besides God of War? I don't think we've talked a whole lot about God of War. So,
I mean, I haven't actually played a ton of God of War this week anyway. I played so much NBA
2K23,
which I think last time I talked about it, I barely played any.
Yeah, I think you had said like your guy sucked.
So now he's just mildly terrible. I think I'm up to like 73 overall.
Okay.
I've gotten super good at shooting three-pointers, though, because I'm not the point guard this year. Like, normally when I play the game, I play as the point guard. And so when my player is bad, I'll get, like, I'll perform well in games by passing the ball to people and having them score. But I decided to be a shooting guard this year. Which meant that I couldn't do that. So I had to, like, actually catch the ball and score. My player, who is super bad, if you've ever played NBA 2K, when you're shooting the ball, there's, like, this meter. And when this bar fills up the meter, and when it gets to the top, you let go of the button. And if you're in the green zone, it's an automatic make. If you're not in the green zone, it depends on how close you are to being in the green zone and then how good your player is.
Okay.
My player was so bad, if it wasn't in the green zone, it was an automatic miss. and because he was so bad, the bar moved super fast. But because I forced myself to actually, because the only way I could, like perform in games was to literally score, because my player was terrible at everything else and didn't have the ball to pass it to other people. I got super good at like letting it go exactly in the green zone. So my player has actually shot well because I got so much practice. The problem is like there'll be parts of the game where you get this, you can unlock, they call it a team takeover. So your team is playing really well to the point where you can control the entire team and not just your player.
Okay.
Which you'd think would be great. Now I can play as players who are actually good. Except, like, since they shoot well, the bar doesn't move as fast.
Your timing's off.
My timing is destroyed. Like, I would get fouled as like a 99% free throw shooter. I'd be on the line. And like, I'm so used to like having, like pressing the button and then immediately having let go because the bar moves so fast. And of course I do that with a real free throw shooter and it's like a quarter of the way up the bar. And then I get penalized for missing free throws so badly. But like my player's starting to get better. I can play well. I've had 50 point games now. Like he's doing well. But the whole game occurs in the backdrop of you were drafted 18th overall or whatever it was. So my player happened to be 18th because I wanted to play for the Celtics.
And your rival was the player that the team's fans actually wanted to draft.
Okay. That's a cool dynamic.
It's a cool dynamic. There's a whole storyline behind it. The story is actually really fun, really good. Like, it's funny. It's really deeper and longer than the stories have been in the last couple of NBA 2K games, which means it kind of carries down through the season, like, for a ways. You end up, like, stuck in this dynamic power struggle in the organization between the people who wanted to draft you and thought you were good and the people who didn't want to draft you. The people who didn't draft you start to gain more power in the organization and you end up on the trading block and you have to do all this stuff to kind of to earn back the organization's trust or to make your players so good that you're untradeable if you don't want to be traded. And there's this huge story that goes into the whole thing. There's a lot of like walking around because there is that big open city again. And there is a lot of walking down to different parts of the city and doing different things. Now the city's kind of divided up into areas. And a portion of the storyline is like conquering those areas in the city.
So like
conquering, like I say conquering. It's like trying to win over the people in this area and trying to win over the people in this area. So like you get the fan base on your side because the fan base wanted this other guy instead.
Okay.
So there's like a fashion district, so you do fashion related things in that district. And there's a business district and you do business related things in the business. That's kind of that like that there's like a music area. You do music related things there. To try to like, you know, boost your profile and earn fans. And the things you do are fun and they're interesting. It's not just like walking around and talking and having dialogue options. There's like you end up in trivia contests. There's somebody who you want to give you shoes. And that person challenges you to a free throw shooting contest. There's another guy who like you want something from him and he'll challenge you to horse. So it's not just like walking around and not doing basketball related things, which I kind of felt from last year's when you were doing stuff in the city and talking to people, like you weren't really playing basketball.
Right.
It was just a distraction. Now they've kind of added that basketball element to it to make it more interesting.
Kind of neat.
Yeah. And there's this whole big like social media backdrop to the whole thing because the guy you were drafted over, his name is Shep Owens. Obviously, he's a tremendous jerk, and he's also like a social media star. Like he's like who's the boxer? Jake Paul.
Okay.
It's like that guy. Like. Terrible jerk, always talking smack about you. He's got this like posse who will get on with him when he's doing like videos and posting them online. And you can watch them. And it's just like him like trying to make fun of you and trying to tool on you as you your player slowly gets better and like gets a better profile than him and starts like dominating him in things. And of course occasionally you get to play against him. So like in my game he's on the Denver Nuggets. So whenever I play Denver, I try to like put up as many points as I can. Cause that guy's a jerk.
Show him up a little bit.
That's right. It actually comes down. There's like a, I don't know if you can fail. I didn't fail, but maybe you can, but there's this like, as you get to the end of the quest line, because there's quests, where you're trying to prove definitively once and for all that you were better than this guy, like you literally have to like put up better stats than him in order to win in the quest line. So I don't know, it's a fun thing. It really doubles down on like the RPG elements of the previous games. It really like fleshes them out. There's like
It's one of the more like entertaining be a player modes I've ever played.
Cool. Yeah, it sounds like they made some more sense of the city stuff. I actually like the idea of, but you said conquering it. I was like, that doesn't make any sense. But
yeah,
the way you explained it, it's like, no, like you're a new guy in the city. You're trying to make ties with the community. Yeah. So like, you know, you start like, and it's neat that like you're gonna do things that would up your profile, fashion, music, stuff like that. And that is pretty cool.
Yeah, they made traversing the city a lot more fun this time around too. Because last time you spent a lot of time just walking around.
Mm-hmm.
Now there's fast travel points all throughout the city, but you also have your skateboard.
Okay.
And skateboarding actually comes into it. Like there's definitely a skateboarding contingent in the city who wants to see you like do tricks and like you have to do a like time trial race for them to like back you up. It's and you'll see like, because when they dump you into the city, you're like in the city with other real people, and you'll see them like skateboarding by you. There's a whole thing. It's not like a full-fledged skateboarding game, like you don't
right
but it's there and you can do a few tricks. I don't know. It's interesting.
Neat. Sounds like we'll be talking about that at some point later in the year, or early next year with our best of lists. So.
Oh yeah, it'll be back. Definitely will be back.
Jeff, you started the quarry.
Yeah.
Does it rock?
It does, actually. I think it's pretty good. I think that the it's got quite a good hook at the opening there with Ted Raimi showing up as this, you know, sinister cop, and you're just like, you're intrigued, you know.
Yeah.
And I'm a little bit of the ways into it after that. It basically, you know, it has this intro, this prologue that's like, you know, it before where the rest of the game takes place. Like, it's a few months before, I think. Like, it's the day before summer camp starts at the beginning of the game. And then when you meet our main characters, our actual main characters, it's like the last day of summer camp. And yes. Everyone's getting ready to leave, and one of the characters has a crush on this girl. He wants to spend one more night with her, so he sabotages their van to get out of there to spend one more night together. And then what I'm assuming the rest of the game is like that night, the way it plays out. And pretty cool cast, I think. It's all people you'll kind of recognize from something somewhere. Including the guy that like runs the camp. It's David Arquette, you know, you'll know from Dewey from Scream. And I think that the characters are well written enough that I'm starting to care about all of them, you know?
Yeah. I like them quite a bit, actually.
Yeah. I think that they're almost all of them are pretty well written. I don't know who you're supposed to take as like the main character. I don't think there really is. It's just like a group of
Like chapters play off, right? Like you'll like one chapter will be you'll play as Abby, like another chapter you'll play as like Emma, maybe another one you're playing as like Nick or Jacob. Like it moves around. I think you'll end up with like I like these characters. Like these are my favorites.
Yeah, I kind of like the doofus guy who's got a. Part I've just reached is like he's got the guy who like makes them stay there longer. They all start playing truth or dare, and his girlfriend kisses one of the other guys, and mm-hmm. he gets so upset about it that he starts crying. I kind of like him, but I kind of like all of them. I there's no one that I'm like, oh, this person's annoying. I think. With these types of games, anytime that it stops and now it's time for you to walk around, pretty boring. Like, For one, it's just like usually just walk around an area until you find an object that is going to like get to the next cutscene.
Yeah, and that's pretty standard for these types of games.
And the the way the character walks is like just way slower than a video game character like ever walks. So it makes it even more like, come on, let's go. But yeah, like you said, it's kind of the nature of these types of games. I wonder how movie mode is, if like they kind of like. Did you try the movie mode on this?
I haven't, no.
See, I wonder if it kind of like cuts that stuff out. I would assume it would still let you like make the choices, because that's kind of the fun of these games. It's basically, you're watching a movie and getting to make choices, right? Like,
yeah, normally the stuff you find isn't, it's not like necessarily game related. Like a lot of it's like, here's a clue.
Yeah,
and like, it doesn't actually impact anything, though. It's, I mean, what does, like, sometimes, like, they unlock different paths, like, because you have a piece of information. It's like, there's special items that you can find that'll unlock certain paths and stuff, but, like, it's you not wonder, like, oh, I need this crank. I need to find the crank.
Like, yeah, it's not like that. It's not like that. It's not like an adventure or whatever. Point and click type game, like it's really is just like find the thing that's gonna advance the story now to the next thing. But I am enjoying the story enough. I'm intrigued by it all. You know what I mean? Like there's like this hillbilly walking around. I'm like, what is he doing? Like, you know, is he hunting? Is he hunting these? You know, it's basically spoilers. Kind of a monster game. Kind of,
yeah.
Yeah,
but, I think it's actually a little bit more straightforward than Until Dawn.
Yeah, and I like that, actually.
Yeah, like Until Dawn was like, oh, we're going to do this like slasher thing, but like, then all you of think a sudden it's going one way, something else.
Yeah.
Like, this is very much like, this is what it is. Like, pretty early on, like, you kind of understand what the monster is.
Yeah.
And it's like sticks a
slash,
with that.
It's like a monster movie with like a slasher setting, and you kind of get that from the beginning. I don't think I necessarily loved the fake out and Until Dawn, where you're like, oh, you think it's going one way and it's not. Like, so yeah, I kind of appreciate that here, but there's still enough mystery to like what it is that's going on that I'm like interested to see where it goes. But yeah, I'm liking it so far. I think they're pretty good at these types of games, and their games actually, like, for the most part, look really good. There's times where things look a little weird, but I think that the you know, facial animation and all that, like the motion capture, looks really good. And solid performances and characters, you know.
I think this is their, to me, I think this is their best one that they've done.
Just overall, or in terms of like,
Overall, like, you know, because they've done, well, I haven't played the new Dark Pictures game yet, but they've done, you know, four Dark Pictures games now. They did Until Dawn. So they have a library of these types of games. I think The Quarry is maybe the most solid.
Yeah.
Of them all.
I think if you like these narrative games, it's a cool, at least so far for me, it's pretty cool. I got kind of burnt out on these types of games when they were like really popular around, after The Walking Dead came out. It was like, we're going to adapt everything into this. Like, here's a Batman one. Here is there's a Game of Thrones one, I remember. Yep. And I always really enjoyed playing all of them, but I just at some point got burnt out on that genre. And this was a good one to come back to after a few years. It's really good so far.
Yeah, and I think like when we talked about Until Dawn when that came out, like they upgraded that Telltale formula.
Yeah,
a bit here.
It's cheap. Yeah.
So yeah, I'm glad you're liking it. It's one of my favorites for the year so far. So
it'll probably make the list because I need to fill out that list. Gotta find 10 games that were good this year.
I guess speaking of these types of games, I finished Life is Strange: True Colors.
Yeah, worth it.
Yeah, I really like that one. That is another one that kind of it's Life is Strange is weird because it's more grounded. Like it's not like there's a supernatural element to it, but it's not like this. You know, it's not monsters chasing you. It's the character, the main character has like a supernatural ability that is what the game is kind of focused on. And in True Colors, her ability is she's an empath. She can read people's emotions and then like, you know, look at items and figure out how to solve problems. The mystery in this is actually really good. I think I said that last week where it was pretty early on in like the first episode, because it's still done in the 5-episode format. Unlike The Quarry, which is like it has chapters, but
yeah,
this
like
is
a movie kind
of. Yeah, it's more like a movie. Like this is like here you're watching like 5 different episodes of this miniseries, and the first episode ends on like a fucking shocker. It's like wow, like did not see that coming. And then the mystery that unfolds after that is it's actually pretty neat. And again, like they kind of hit you with a shocker at the end of the 4th episode going into the finale, and it's like did not see that coming either. So some really good stuff in it. I don't think it has the star power that The Quarry has, like, or the Supermassive games. They always have, there are always characters that like look like the actors and actresses, like you know those people, like you've seen them places.
Hey, shit. Until Dawn had Rami Malek, right? Like he became an Oscar winner, didn't he? Win fucking Best Actors, like so.
Yeah, I think he won for that
fucking movie that nobody liked.
Yeah, the Bohemian Rhapsody, yeah. Or whatever the Queen movie was.
Yeah,
they have name actors, right? Like you said, for this one was like Ted Raimi, David Arquette, Ariel Winner are all in The Quarry. Like, I don't think Life is Strange has any of that, but solid voice acting, well done characters. It's still top notch like adventure game stuff. It's just like a different vibe from like The Quarry and the horror stuff that's out there. But
we did briefly touch on it last week, but I think Life is Strange is the last narrative game like this that I was kind of blown away by that first one. Happy to hear they're still making. I don't get how it is. This part 2 or is this
no. I think it's the 4th Life is Strange game. Yeah,
see, it's hard to keep track of that series a little bit.
But it is like a standalone. Like it's not Life.
They're all kind of.
Yeah, there's like Life is Strange, then Life is Strange Before the Storm, which is the prequel to the original Life is Strange. And there's Life is Strange 2, which I haven't played. And then True Colors, which has nothing to do with the other 3.
Okay.
But just standalone.
Is 2 tied to the other 2?
I don't know. Okay. I haven't played it. I know it stars like a pair of brothers. I think that's all I know about it.
Okay.
But yeah, True Colors, very well done. If you like those types of games, you playing The Quarry and that back to back, I maybe wouldn't recommend that. But
pretty much, yeah.
Keep True Colors in your back pocket if you're looking for something like this later on.
These types of games are, you know, as much as I say that, video games could kind of do away with story, when that is the game, they're pretty fun, you know, especially in the case of, I would say Life is Strange and Supermassive games, like the writing is good and the acting is good. That goes a long way towards making that shit work. Yeah,
and if you're gonna make a story based game, like you need that. You need good voice acting. You need good facial acting or good animation so that it's believable. And you need a good story behind it all.
Yeah,
because if you don't, like, then those games are just boring. And
my favorite game ever could have a shitty story or no story. I don't care. But when the point of the game is the story, kind of have to nail those things.
Yeah, because like, let's, and I think God of War has a, you know, decent story. People really seem to like that, or so like The Last of Us, right? Like people like look at those like, oh, I love the stories in these games, but the gameplay needs to be good for what those things are. Like if you're not having fun hacking shit up as Kratos, it doesn't really matter what the story is, because the moment-to-moment gameplay of that stuff is hacking shit up. Like,
yeah,
it's not you talking with, you know, boy the entire time.
Boy.
But yeah, yeah, glad you liked the Quarry. I liked Life is Strange True Colors. I don't think there's anything else new there that I played. Next week that's a big release week. Weird. Really a weird, like, the week after Thanksgiving, Marvel's Midnight Suns, Callisto Protocol, and that new Need for Speed game all drop.
And I don't know. I just keep sending Melissa a Christmas list of things I want, and I added the Callisto Protocol and the Need for Speed to it and sent it to her again.
Hey, like, and you know,
Christmas thing, list, right? Revised.
Revise it. And it's like, well, I want this too.
It makes it so that I might wait on those.
Yeah. I mean, that makes sense too, because like maybe.
And then buy them when she doesn't get them for me.
Yeah, after Christmas, maybe one of them will be on sale. Need for Speed.
Yeah. She doesn't have to give me anything. She could just get me Taylor Swift tickets and we're good. Like, I don't need anything.
We're good, yes. Get you just one tickets present. That are going for $1,000 to sit on the roof of the stadium. Yeah, my daughter looked at like tickets higher up from where we are, and they were selling for $1,100.
Bullshit, dude.
Absolutely insane.
Yeah.
I hope you do find a way to get tickets. I don't.
Maybe I'll come down closer to the show. I don't know how this secondhand market works. At some point, you want to get rid of them, right? Like, yeah. How many people are you going to find that are willing to spend that much on a ticket? I mean, you're going to get all the rich people, and then get that full stadium 3 nights in a row. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing, right? There's 3 Chicago shows, 3 Philly shows, so there's a chance.
Yes.
I don't think there's any DC shows, Tony.
You're saying there's a chance.
Always a chance.
We know Tony's a Swiftie.
Not really. I mean, she's great. I just have no urge to go to her show.
She's real great. You gotta watch Tony. Go on Netflix and go... type in Taylor Swift, and then her concert film will come up.
Mm-hmm.
And you'll love it. It's great. Super great. And then after you see that, you'll be like, I need, like, that's the trajectory for me anyways. After I saw that, I was like, I need to see this, like, I need to see her concert. Like, there's fucking fireworks and lasers and fucking shit flying around and a million fucking backup dancers, and I'm just like, this is... You know, I've seen some big acts in my day, and none of them are doing like this.
It's like a massive circus act almost. Like, it's not even just a stage show. Like, it is insane the amount of people that are involved.
There's set changes. Like, the whole stage kind of changes every couple songs. She's constantly changing into different outfits. It's like, I don't know, man. It's fucking insane. I literally can't think of like anything I've seen in person that's close to that. Like, you know. And now I'm fucked because of these fucking Ticketmaster motherfuckers.
They tried to apologize. I don't think it went over very well.
Yeah. Thanks.
Yeah, so I'm going to pick up probably a few more games for Black Friday.
Yeah, I haven't touched the Steam sale yet. There's some things on there.
Here's what you do. You go on your Xbox right now, and you go Elden Ring, install. And you're good. You're good to go from there.
I mean, I did just clear some stuff off of the hard drive, so I can't.
Mine is full again. And mine is full to the point now where I'm looking at it and I'm like, I don't know what I want to cut. Like, it's at that point where I'm like, these are all, I want these all on the system all the time.
And yeah, but there's got to be some in there that you want on there that you don't actually need. You can always reinstall them. It's not like they're dead.
Yeah, there's one big one, and that's Mortal Kombat 11, which takes up a lot of space. But it's like, it's nice to have for that one imaginary time when a friend is over and we're going to go, let's play Mortal Kombat. And I have all the characters. Like, I've bought everything for that game. Like, I have fucking RoboCop and everything, Terminator.
It's Call of Duty probably takes up a lot too, doesn't it? Call of Duty probably takes up a lot as well.
Oh yeah, that's, I only ever have one downloaded at a time for that series. It was like right before this new one came out, I deleted Vanguard or whatever.
Vanguard, yeah.
But yeah, it takes up, you know, like 100 plus. And that's all I have is what is inside of the Series X, which is, I think, what, 2 terabyte?
One. It's 1 terabyte, yeah. That and the PlayStation are ones.
So, and it's not even like, you know, some of that is devoted to whatever, like. So, yeah, it's like you get a handful of big games and it's fucking full. Sucks.
Oh,
but Tony's right. There's probably a lot of 20, 30 gig games I could probably.
Yeah, like I just dropped, you know, True Colors off mine that freed up 35 gigs. So
that's a juggling act with my storage.
Like, I keep looking at like Assassin's Creed Valhalla. I'm like, I want to go back and finish that game. I could probably delete it and reinstall it later.
So, those big games, though, it's like the reinstalls, like, it's a big thing. Like, you know, it's like you can't just decide you want to play it and a minute later you're playing it. It's like,
yeah, it's when you gotta, like, I'm going to play this tomorrow. And
yeah.
Or an hour and a half.
Or an hour, yeah, yeah. And using up a huge chunk of your, at least for me, I have like the, what, data caps or whatever it is.
Okay, so yeah, like you're like, if I uninstall Call of Duty, like, I cannot re-download it this month. Like,
yeah, I mean, I don't even know what it is, because that's one build that she runs, but she said one time that she's like, we went over. I was like, oh, really? I didn't even know that. I didn't know that was a thing.
Jeff's just like uninstalling, reinstalling.
Yeah, I don't
Call of Duty back and forth.
I have no clue what my limit is, and yeah. So.
That sucks. Data caps are terrible and should stop.
Be illegal.
I agree. Let's get rid of data caps.
And Ticketmaster.
And Ticketmaster. Of course, they own half of the venues in the United States, but. I mean, we'll just take them back. They'll be public venues.
Fucking do something. I don't know.
I'm going to get that Turtles collection.
The who? Oh, the Turtles? Yeah, I thought about it.
I'm going to get that. I mean, it's not, I think you said it maybe a couple of weeks ago, Jeff, that like Shredder's Revenge was just so damn good. like going back to these older Turtle games maybe isn't the best idea, but I kind of want them. I know there's a lot of like Digital Eclipse did that collection as well. It's not the Atari collection, but they got like a lot of history on like the Turtle games and stuff.
And they do kind of have that in there. They do kind of have like pretty much the all Turtle games you'd be interested in, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
There's like Game Boy ones on there and shit, and all the NES ones and
the arcade stuff. Yeah, it's pretty extensive collection. Like, it's definitely worth its price. But
I really did think about it, but at the same time, I thought Shredder's Revenge was a good update on that stuff, and even then I was like, I don't care. Like, I didn't get into it as much as you guys. It's just the genre for me that's kind of died off. My heart has died.
It's fair.
Your heart's been dead for a long time.
Yeah, so I think if I saw that Turtles collection for like under $15 on the store, I would do it.
You probably would. I would think in the next few years or so, because remember those Mega Man collections came out and they were like, I think they started out at 30, just still a little bit less than the Turtles, but they're regularly on sale for like $5.
Yeah, it'll for sure happen. And when I see it, I will get it just because of the digital eclipse factor, actually. And you know, it's interesting. Like, you know, some of the old NES Turtle games I liked, and I actually liked that first one. Everyone says it's like it's not good, but I liked it. I have fond memories.
You know? Yeah, like I mean, it's hard as hell. It's not Battletoads hard, but it's really hard.
I never had a problem with that water level though. It's just I never got far beyond that. It's like hard in general. It's not just the water level.
Yeah, yeah. It's not like it's not bullshit unfair like Battletoads was, right? Like,
yeah,
it's just a hard game.
Yeah, yeah, agreed.
All right. Well, I hope everybody enjoys their Thanksgiving. Enjoys your turkey if that's what you're eating, or
I argued for ham and I did not win.
Well, you got Christmas coming up. Get another shot.
Yeah, yeah.
I always do Christmas.
But we don't usually like. I usually end up going somewhere for Christmas, and Thanksgiving usually ends up being here for whatever reason. And so, yeah, I have like no control over what the Christmas situation is.
Does anybody like turkey in your household? Like, or is it just like, this is tradition, we eat the bird?
Yeah, I was just kind of, well, it's just me and my wife and then like basically her family coming for Thanksgiving. And I guess it's just kind of assumed that's what you get. But I was throwing it out there. I was making suggestions. I actually feel like if we all actually talked it out, we'd all realize that the ham is superior.
It is.
And I would have won. And I'd say that as someone who, like, I like turkey. I have no problem. I just think that, you know, the ham wins.
I mean, I agree. Ham is for holidays, which is why I don't view Thanksgiving as a Thanksgiving is not a holiday. It's just a day for family dinner.
But, what I actually argued is not doing Thanksgiving at all.
I'm right there with you on that.
It's maybe my least favorite holiday. I find it super depressing and weird. And you know, for me, a lot of associations with working Black Friday and stuff like that. It's just like, just give me the day off. Like an actual day off where I don't have to deal with family or any of that shit. And I'll go back to work into hell the next day.
That is fair. Tony, are you having turkey?
Absolutely. Frying it, though. I'm not frying it. Someone else is frying it.
We've done that before. I think that tastes good that way.
It's the best way to have turkey. Because it's like something like a 13-pound thing is not meant to be cooked in an oven. Like, there's no way it ever cooks evenly. But you throw it in a fryer, it all cooks at once.
You get that peanut oil.
Yeah.
It's good.
I've never had fried turkey before, but
it's pretty good. It's pretty good.
I mean, I despise turkey, and it's probably always because it's cooked in an oven, and everybody overcooks it. And
yep. And it's impossible, like, that's something, it's impossible to season. So, like, the inside is all dry and, like, tasteless.
Well, that's why you just dip it in the mashed potatoes and the gravy, and you're good.
Well, for the last few years, my mom has been, like, making fish along with the turkey, because only my youngest daughter likes turkey. My mom likes turkey. My dad liked turkey, but he's not alive anymore, so there's like, it's my mom and my youngest. Nobody else in the family likes turkey, so she was doing fish. This year, she's just like, I'm not even getting a turkey. They're more expensive this year. You guys don't eat it. We're just having chicken. Like, so I'm going to chicken dinner tomorrow night. I like a chicken. And yeah, so happy turkey day.
I'm not against turkey. Like I said, it's fine. I think it's good. But, you know, it's ham, baby. That's where it's at. That's why they save the ham for Christmas, because that's the real holiday.
Yeah. Then we reprise that ham again on New Year's Day, but not the same ham. Like we got a new ham, but
oh yeah, dude.
And then Black Friday. Enjoy everyone shopping if you're shopping, or you know, you're out there working. and you know, it's cold now, so you won't be happy. But get yourself a peppermint mocha to celebrate the start of Christmas season. And Earl did not join us. I hope he has a good Thanksgiving as well. And we'll be back next week with none of those new games that are coming out, because they'll be on the 2nd. That's the day before we record. But we'll have something. I'm sure we will play some of the Black Friday purchases we've made.
And any of them except Elden Ring.
Yes. Yeah, we won't be starting that one until later in the year. Maybe the 30th.
Give it some more
time. When are we doing Game of the Year? Maybe the day before.
So that's like the 2nd week in January. So Tony's gonna avoid it all year long.
That's right.
Title screen was pretty good.
It was awesome.
Checked it out right before we started recording.
Yeah, then I played a little bit and then I died and I was like, this game sucks.
Yeah, it's terrible.
Are the Game Awards next week or are they 2 weeks?
I'm not sure. I don't know. It's usually early December.
It's December. It'll be 2 weeks from now. So we won't be talking about that. Who knows? Earl will be back though, so get an update there. Come join us on Hive. Jeff hasn't joined us there yet, but Tony and I have Hive. Yeah. Earl has a Hive.
Yeah, as if I'm coming to Hive. Get out of town.
Why aren't you coming to Hive?
It's not happening.
It's like Twitter, except
not nice. Shitty.
Yeah.
I just wish it was a little bit faster.
I enjoy Twitter. I have a good time on Twitter.
Yes. I just think that there are now, I'm starting to see it in like just regular comments, like more and more shitbags showing up. It's like, if I interact with you guys and like our other mutual friends, it's fine. Yeah. I go into the public.
Yes. I keep seeing number one, I think it's broken. Like I keep seeing the same tweets over and over and over again. I have Elon Musk blocked now because he bothers me, but he's still in my feed. He's like unstoppable and weird, I just can't get rid of him.
If you like block somebody, like sometimes someone will quote tweet them and you can still see it. And then if you click on the tweet, it'll say like, oh, you've blocked this person. I'm like, yeah.
No, it doesn't. If you see Elon Musk retweeted into your feed, click on him. It will not do that.
He has himself like unblocked.
Unblocked.
You can block me, but I own it. So you need to like see my bullshit.
Yes. And after his whole amnesty for anyone who hasn't committed a crime thing, that's his new thing. He has a poll out there now. Complete amnesty. Let everyone come back to Twitter unless they've committed a crime.
Yeah. Well.
Yes.
Oh, I don't know.
So I don't need to be in that place with those people. Like, if you're gonna let all those people back, I will be somewhere else.
I could blend in the criminal elements. I'll be fine.
does the Twitter app like for you guys? Does it like go, here's some suggested tweets like?
Yeah, but yeah. I've switched it to the just chronological version.
I mean like in your notifications, like you'll get like, so like, you no. know, from the like Critically Sane account.
Yeah.
Like I got like Elon Musk showed up in the Critically Sane account. We don't follow him.
I've never gotten what you guys are saying.
So weird. I don't know why. But yeah, I had to like, I got him, and then like every once in a while I'll get like somebody, these other, I'm like, what the fuck is this? And I click on it. I'm like, how is this? Like, it has nothing to do with us whatsoever. Does not meet any of our ideologies at all. Like these guys are spewing hate. How are they even showing up in like just block?
They used to get like,
can't get rid of Elon though.
I used to get suggested tweets in my feed and stuff Yeah. But after I switched it to just the chronological version, like all I see is whatever is happening right now and ads, whatever little ads. But like mostly it's just I like feel like I actually miss out on things now, but I'm just like I was sick of like the suggested topics thing that would show up and stuff like that. This is all pre Elon Musk too. Like,
oh yeah, it was, yeah. That's not him.
I was like, you know what I like about Twitter is it's not like Facebook. So fucking get all the shit out of here. I switched it to chronological, and then I've never gotten in your notifications. It said,
yeah.
Wow, that's crazy, dude.
And I also get like I get that bullshit in the feed too, like Bethesda Game Studios and somebody else we follow follows Elon Musk, so he shows up in the feed. Like I don't follow some of these people for a reason. Why are they showing up here?
Right, I'm sick of Musk. I don't want to see him anymore, and yet yeah, now I can't get away.
Annoying. He got annoying real quick. I feel like it's dying down a little bit where like, cause for a while there, everyone was like talking about him and like showing what he was saying. And now since I don't follow him, I'm not seeing it as much, but you know.
Yeah. You'll still like a probably eventually, like occasionally you'll get somebody that takes a screenshot of something he says and like, you can't block that bullshit.
Yeah, but... I haven't blocked Musk yet. Sometimes I do want to see whatever the hell is going on over there.
But, yeah. Right, like same here. Like, right, I haven't gone as extreme as Tony with blocking him because, like, you know, he does run the fucking platform. I want to see what nonsense he's doing every once in a while.
How is that Trump poll doing? You know,
but I don't want like I want to be able to like click on his name, like or like search his name and check it out that way. I don't want it just being forced on me.
I think it will die down more. I don't know. Twitter's always going to Twitter, dude. Sky's always falling. We're, you know.
But Hive, though, seems very, like, pleasant.
Yeah. It's probably a little baby, you know?
It is, yeah. Like, it's just a lot of, like, people that have, like, exited Twitter, and it's like they don't want to deal with that bullshit at all. So it's just, like, a happy place to be right now.
Yes.
But whatever. All right. Well, we'll be back next week. Have a good holiday. Jeff, say goodnight.
Good night.